If you have your Bible, I encourage you to go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 through 7 will be our text for this morning. And you can follow along in the worship folder. It's printed there on the right side panel at the bottom. But if you have a copy of the scriptures, I would encourage you to use that or use one of the pew Bibles there in the pew racks in front of you, because we will be looking briefly at a couple of other scripture passages, and you may find it useful to turn to those at that time. And while you're turning there, the children ages 4 through the 4th grade can be dismissed for children's church. If you have children and you would like for them to attend children's church, they are welcome to do that now. They're welcome to stay in here with us. And while the children are being dismissed, I will take this time to mention that, of course, Pastor Steve is out, right? I didn't have to say that. You know that already by him not being here at this appointed time in the service. Well, he's out because, as many of you know, Stephanie, his youngest daughter, competed in the National High School Bible Drill on Friday. And what you may not know is that Stephanie actually won that Bible drill. So the next time you see Stephanie, you'll want to congratulate her and encourage her. I know that she's excited, and I'm sure she has two very proud parents right now. Not that they needed that to be proud, but in the Savage household, we are learning something about pain. Some of you know what I mean. We have 4 children. Our oldest, Phoebe, turned 5 a week and a half ago. Joanna, 3. Will be 2 in August. And Nathan, our youngest, was born back in April. Well, since Nathan was born, we've been to the ER twice with his oldest brother, or with his older brother, with Will. Not yet 2. Within the span of 2 months, has had to have stitches for 2 falls that he has taken. And the fascinating thing about both of those instances when he has fallen is, of course, he falls and he's bleeding and we're wondering, what's going on. And the first time wondering, okay, is this something worthy of taking him to the hospital for? And we did, thankfully. But before we even got out the door, he was already calm. He was over the initial wave. Of course, the trauma sat in again as he saw that needle coming close for the stitches. But this opportunity of learning something about pain has also provided us the opportunity to learn a little bit more about comfort. And in particular, Will has been comforted by popsicles, by ice cream, and of course, by mom and dad. Well, we can look back and we can chuckle about that now because he's healing up. But the pain that he experienced and what we've gone through as a family is really minuscule compared to the pain that many go through. Many of you have been through. You know far better than I do, many of you, the intensity of pain. Physical pain, yes, but also emotional pain. You know the depth of heartache far deeper than I know from experience. And I don't say that in a bragging way. I say that in an honest way, that you have been through the school of pain and have earned advanced degrees beyond what I have personally experienced. I concede that from the outset. But nevertheless, whether your life has had periodic heartache, or whether you are more acquainted with the depth of sorrow that some know. Paul's word to the Corinthian church here in 2 Corinthians is of help. Is of help, hopefully, if you are in a spot of pain now. Is of help for the pain and the heartache and the sorrow that is sure to come your way. But more than being a preparation for your experience of pain, this word from the Apostle Paul is also a help for us to see how it is that God prepares us to be ministers of comfort to others who are going through heartache, to others who are experiencing pain. The Apostle Paul himself was no stranger to pain. And by his words, the Holy Spirit teaches us both how God provides for our comfort and how God uses us as vehicles to provide his comfort in one another's lives. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7 and consider what the Holy Spirit has for us on this issue of pain and comfort this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Father, again, we need your help during this time. We need your Spirit to be at work. We need him to take up this word and to teach us, to convict us of sin, to train us in righteousness. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit would be pleased to use your word to accomplish your purposes this morning. Father, at one level or another, we have all experienced sorrow in this life, and we will experience sorrow in the days ahead. And Father, some of us struggle with unhelpful, perhaps even unhealthy ways of dealing with the pain that we wrestle with. So, Father, we pray that you would be pleased to use your word this morning to show us, Father, how it is that you intend to provide for our comfort. Father, we thank you that we have a Savior who was the suffering servant. We thank you that we have a King for whom sorrow is not something that is unknown, but something with which he is well versed, even to the point of being betrayed to death by a close confidant. So, Father, we pray that we would be strengthened by the gospel of Christ. We pray that our comfort would be set and centered upon Christ and what he has done for us. So, Father, we commit this time to you and ask you to use it for our good, but ultimately for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As we consider how God has provided and does provide for our comfort, and how it is that he uses us to be vehicles of comforts in one another's lives, we need to observe four things from this passage. First, the need for comfort. The need for comfort. Second, the source of comfort. The source of comfort. Third, the content of comfort. And finally, the purpose of comfort. Why? Why does God comfort us? So the need for comfort. We see here from the apostle's own testimony that he was no stranger to affliction. In verse 4, he speaks of God who comforts us in all our affliction. In verse 5, he speaks of sharing abundantly in Christ's sufferings. What Paul means when he speaks of Christ's sufferings here is primarily the physical, emotional, spiritual distress that he experiences as a result of serving the Lord for the cause of the gospel. In verse 8, he speaks of a specific affliction. We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. What was this affliction that caused the Apostle Paul to despair even of life itself? Riots where he was? Illnesses? Tension between the churches? Opposition to his gospel ministry? Perhaps it was the tension that was a part of the relationship between the Apostle Paul and the church at Corinth. In the end, we don't know. Paul doesn't give us enough details to know what the affliction was, but he is clear that he is no stranger to distress. The book of 2 Corinthians includes in chapter 9, Paul's catalog of afflictions that he faced, being beaten, being left for dead, being cold, being famished, and so forth. Paul makes it clear that he knows what physical sorrow is. He knows what spiritual distress is. He knows what emotional turmoil is. And he is not communicating these things to the Corinthian church so that they would feel sorry for him. He's not trying to garner their sympathy, but rather he is communicating to them that what he speaks of is not merely theoretical knowledge, but he, like many of you, and perhaps beyond what any of us have experienced, the Apostle Paul was a graduate of the school of sorrow. But Paul not only acknowledges his own need for comfort, but he recognizes that there are others who experience hardship. He speaks here of the Corinthian church themselves going through hardship. Verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will share in our comfort. The Corinthians knew what it was to suffer. Later in chapter 8, Paul will speak of the Macedonian churches, the church of Philippi, the church of Thessalonica, as having endured deep sorrow and affliction, a severe test of affliction. Paul knows that the reality of human existence is one that comes face to face regularly with heartache, with disappointment, with sorrow, with frustration, with tears, with distress. This is not uncommon to what it is to be a human being. Living in a fallen world, a world that is stained by the curse of sin. Sorrow confronts us. Sometimes it seems without allowing us to catch our breath. Ultimately, the sorrow that we experience, whether due to inflictions that we bring upon ourselves, or others letting us down, or the sickness that we face as human beings. Ultimately, the sorrow that we face is a consequence of sin, right? Not always a consequence of our own personal sin, as if God were punishing us for our failure to obey Him in every turn of affliction, but rather we can trace the sorrow that we face, no matter what it may be, we can trace it back to Adam and Eve's rebellion against God and the curse that has come upon creation. Sometimes our suffering comes because of our disobedience, as Paul makes clear with the Corinthian church. He points to some of them having died because of their disobedience in observing, in their observance of the Lord's Supper. But this is not, of course, always the case. This is the exception, right? But nevertheless, whatever the sorrow is that we have faced in the past or what will come our way in the future, it falls under the umbrella of living in a sinful world. We have a need for comfort. But where will comfort come from? Where will we seek comfort from our distress? The source of comfort. Notice what Paul says in verse 3 about the source of comfort. He says that comfort is supplied by none other than God Himself. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. Who does what? Who comforts us? It is God who supplies our comfort in all our affliction. In chapter 7 of this same book, Paul will write that God is the one who comforts the downcast, and that He is the one who has comforted Paul and his associates. We hear the cry of comfort in what Lewis read for us earlier from the prophet Isaiah. As he looks forward to the coming Messiah, what does the Lord say through the prophet? Comfort. Comfort my people. Why? He goes on to say in verse 10 of Isaiah 40, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. The prophet Isaiah saw that it was God Himself who brings comfort. It was God Himself who would bring comfort in the coming of the Messiah. So how do we gain access to the comfort of God? If God is the one who supplies the comfort, if He is the source of comfort, how do we gain access to the comfort of God? Well, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1, this comfort comes through Christ. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can find the comfort and peace of God. This is why Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one can access the comfort and peace of God the Father apart from coming to the Father through the Son. This is uniquely Christian comfort that Paul has in mind here. It is exclusive comfort, exclusive for those who will first come to Christ by turning away from their sin and turning to Him as their Lord and their Savior. Comfort through Christ. But how is this comfort delivered? How is the comfort that God supplies delivered? We gain access by Christ, but God delivers comfort through other believers. Notice what Paul says in verse 4. Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Paul sees himself as a vehicle for comfort that God will use to bring relief to others. If you have your Bible open, turn to chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 5. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, God being the source of the comfort, comforted us. How? By the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. How was it that the Apostle Paul was comforted in his distress? He was comforted by Titus. He was comforted by the comfort that Titus had received from the Corinthian church. Paul was comforted by Titus's testimony of the Corinthian church's concern for the Apostle Paul, of their response to his previous letters to him. The Apostle Paul experienced the comfort of God, which he accessed through Christ, and he experienced it as Titus came to him, as he heard of the experience and the response of the Corinthian church. God was pleased to use other believers in the life of Paul to bring comfort, even when he was sorrowful to the point of death. So what kind of comfort does God provide? If God is the source of the comfort that we need, and he provides it through other believers, what kind of comfort does God provide? The content of God's comfort. Continue with me in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Let's read again verse 6 just to get the flow. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that letter grieved you, though only for a little while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore, we are comforted. And besides our own comfort, we rejoiced still more at the joy of Titus because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. So how was it that the Apostle Paul was comforted? God used Titus as a vehicle, and simply by Titus's presence, the fellowship of another believer, God provided to Paul the encouragement that he needed. But the content of this comfort was not just Titus's presence with Paul, but it was also what Titus had to say about the Corinthian church. Paul was encouraged. He was comforted. He was built up in his affliction because he heard of how God had been at work in the lives of these fellow believers. He was encouraged despite of his own sorrow because he saw that God was at work. We see from the Apostle Paul's experience what comfort is not. Comfort is not always the removal or the change of difficult circumstances. When Titus came to Paul, Paul was still in difficult circumstances. Yet, despite his personal hardship, he could be comforted by what he heard of God's work in other places. Go back to chapter 1. Comfort is not the change in difficult circumstances. It's not a denial of real heartache, of real pain. We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Paul does not say, okay, you know what? I was comforted when I realized that what I was going through was really not all that difficult. Although he will later say that the trials that we face in this life are a light and momentary affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory that awaits us. Nevertheless, what we experience in this life can hurt, can wring our tear ducts dry. Some of you know what I am talking about. Comfort is not simply as saying, oh, it's really not that bad. It doesn't hurt as bad as you think it does. That's not the kind of comfort that God provides. Nor is the comfort always a removal of the pain. Comfort is not always a removal of the pain. Notice what Paul says in verse 6 of chapter 1. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when? When you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Comfort is not always the removal of pain. So what is comfort? The comfort that the Lord supplies is His loving, strong, moment by moment, carrying us through a world stained with sin until that day when He makes all things new. God's comfort is a comfort that sees us through the hardships. It doesn't always remove them. It doesn't always change the circumstances. But the strong arm of the Lord will see us through. So what does this look like in our own lives? Well, it looks like what it looked like for the Apostle Paul. God intends to comfort us by one another, by our fellowship with one another. Sometimes there are no words to say. Sometimes you're in a spot where you don't need to hear words. But what you need, and what is of more help than perhaps anything, is the loving arm of a brother or a sister in Christ who is just with you, who communicates to you simply by their presence. You're not alone. And in that moment, the God of all comfort, the Creator of the universe, is using His children to comfort you. But not only by the presence of others, but God provides comfort to us, as He did with the Apostle Paul, by giving us glimpses into His work in this world. We see others responding to the gospel. We see others striving to live obediently and submissive. And this is intended to be a reminder that you are not alone in this journey. There are others who are going through similar circumstances, yes, and they, like you, are striving for faithfulness. They, like you, are striving for obedience. And you are comforted by the work of God in the lives of others. But sometimes, words are needed. And what words does God provide to bring to us relief in the moment of sorrow? The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. That word translated encouragement, the encouragement of the Scriptures, is the same word that appears 10 times in these four verses, or these five verses in 2 Corinthians 1, and translated comfort. There's an overlap here of meaning. How is it that God provides comfort by words? How is it that God provides encouragement through words? It is through His Scriptures. He has given us His Word to bring comfort to our hearts. But not only His Word in total, which it does, but His Word specifically as it points us to the gospel. Isaiah 40, again, points us to the coming of the Messiah. And how does the Lord announce the coming in Isaiah 40? Comfort. Comfort my people. Why? Because the Messiah will come. Because the Messiah will come to bring comfort. Paul in Romans 8 puts it this way. Romans 8:31 through 39. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Do you hear the gospel there? God who did not spare His own Son. That's the gospel. God sent His Son. If He sent His Son to die for us, how will He not with us also graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. That is the gospel. It is God in Christ who declares us righteous. Verse 34, who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. This is the gospel, that Christ died for us, that He was raised on the third day. And what is Paul doing here? He is pointing the church at Rome back to the gospel realities, not because they have denied them, not because they are on the precipice of accepting another gospel, but he is calling them back to the gospel that they know, the gospel that they embrace, in order to comfort them, in order to assure their hearts that God is for them. So what about you? What about me? Do you see the gospel as a word of comfort? So Super Mario Brothers. Do you see the gospel as a word of comfort? Or do you see it as something to be believed, something to check off, and something to move beyond so that you can grow in Christ, being done with the gospel? That's not how the Apostle Paul viewed the gospel. As Pastor Steve reminded us last week, as hopefully we are reminded regularly, the gospel is not something simply for unbelievers. Unbelievers need the gospel. This is their only access to the comfort of God. But believers also need to be reminded of the work of God on their behalf. Believers need to meditate in their hearts on what it is that God has done for them in the past and what He has promised to do for them in the future, so that in this momentary affliction, the believer is reminded, God has not forgotten me. God has not left me alone. God does not turn a blind eye to my sorrow. But He who gave His own Son, how will He not with Him also graciously give us all things? Do you see the gospel as a source of comfort in your Christian life? What is the purpose of this comfort? Notice what Paul says in verse 6 of chapter 1. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings. Back up in verse 4. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Why? Why does God provide us the comfort of believers? Why does God provide us the comfort of His work in this world and in our lives? Why is it that God provides us the comfort of the Scriptures? Why is it that God provides us the comfort of the gospel? God comforts us in all our affliction. Why? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul, in his own life, could see something of the tapestry of God's grace. It was woven by the threads of pain, but threads of pain that were woven over and underscored by the comfort of God. A tapestry that God continues to make, and a tapestry that God weaves in your life by seeing you through comfort, seeing you through pain, providing comfort to you so that you can be a vehicle of comfort to others in distress. Why do we receive comfort? We receive comfort because we need it. Because God knows that we need to be strengthened in this life. He gives us comfort to equip us, to prepare us to comfort others. He gives us comfort to make us more like Christ. Christ is the one, as we see in 2 Corinthians 1, who provides access for us to the comfort of God. So when we are equipped by the comfort of God to minister comfort to others, then we are equipped to point others to Christ, who can and who does provide access to the comfort of God. So in equipping us, we are made like Christ as we point others to the comfort of God. And ultimately, God provides us comfort to glorify Himself. Notice the context of Paul's words concerning comfort. He begins in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. In a context of praise, Paul wrestles with and points his readers to the comfort that God provides. Why does God provide comfort? He provides it to show who He is. He provides it to show His mercy. He provides it to demonstrate His compassion. He provides it to bring glory to Himself. So where do you need comfort? Where do you need comfort? If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then the kind of comfort that the Apostle Paul writes about, the kind of comfort that God promises to provide, can be yours if you will turn away from your sin, if you will embrace Christ. It is only by coming to Christ by faith that we can access the comfort of God. So, if you do not know Christ, will you turn from your sin? Will you come into this comfort that God provides? Believer, where do you need comfort? Where do you need to rest in the strong arm of God to see you through? Where do you need to be comforted by the truth of the gospel? Where is it that God is using and is intending to use you to be a vehicle for His comfort? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, that God has comforted him in his affliction for the purpose of being a comfort to others in any affliction. Paul is not saying that he is a comfort to those with whom he can identify in their affliction. Now, there is a comfort that you have experienced and that you have shared with others by identifying with them in their hardship. You have gone through an emotional trial. You have gone through family turmoil. You have gone through a challenging experience alone or with someone else. And you see someone who is going through that same thing, and you come alongside them and you reflect on what it was like to be in that situation. You reflect on how it was that God provided you comfort during that time, and you seek to be a comfort to them. And that is very helpful. But we should not think that that is the only time that we can provide comfort. It is not simply when we have been there that we have a word to speak, that we have a presence to bring. If we have experienced the comfort of God's grace by the gospel, then no matter the affliction, no matter the hardship that we see a brother or sister in Christ going through, then we have comfort that we can bring. No, not in and of ourselves. It is God who supplies the comfort. But we have an opportunity to be a vehicle of comfort. And there is freedom in this. There is freedom in this in two ways. Sometimes it's intimidating. When we see someone going through a rough spot and we've never been there before and we don't know if it's appropriate for us to get involved because we wouldn't know what to say. The Apostle Paul says here that if we have experienced comfort of any kind by the hand of God, and if you are a believer, then you have experienced the comfort of the gospel, then we have comfort to bring. But more than that, the weight is off. Because although we are, and we can be, the vehicle of comfort, it is God Himself who has promised to provide the comfort. So what do? We pray. We pray that God would use us to be a vehicle of comfort. We pray that God would bring the comfort, that we would not rely upon ourselves, but that by His Spirit, He would bring comfort. And we look for opportunities to comfort one another with a word of Scripture, to comfort one another with the hope of the gospel, to comfort one another with our presence as we walk through the trials of this life. Where is it that you can be a vehicle of comfort to those who are hurting? I'm going to pray and we're going to sing, "Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's fountain." Do you need to embrace the comfort of Calvary's fountain today? Do you need to be comforted by other believers today? I'm going to be standing here at the front if you would like to talk, or I'll be out in the foyer. We can talk afterwards or set up a time to talk, or grab another person around you and talk to them after the service. We are the body of Christ to bear one another's burdens, to be a vehicle of comfort in one another's lives. Do not neglect, do not make light of the grace that God has given to you in one another to be a source of comfort for each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you again this morning, Father, we thank you that by your word you have revealed yourself to be the God of all comfort. Father, were it not for your word, we would not know this about you. But Father, you have told us in your word that this is who you are. And for those of us who are in Christ, we know this to be true by our own experience of your grace in the cross of Christ. Father, I pray that Reynoldsburg Baptist Church would increasingly be described as a place where the comfort of God in the gospel is found. Father, I pray that we would take advantage of every opportunity that you give to us to minister the comfort of the gospel to one another through a phone call, through a note, through our presence in one another's lives. Father, I pray that we would be a church that in our care for one another, that in our love for one another, that we would be the aroma of Christ, that we would be a testimony to your goodness. Father, I thank you for all of the ways that this is happening in the life of our church. Father, I thank you for the ways that Sunday school classes and ministry teams and people who just love one another, I thank you for the ways that they serve and minister the comfort that you provide to one another. And Father, I pray that this would only increase so that you might be glorified. so that those who do not know Christ would see that there is something to be had. There is something that the Lord Jesus has provided to these people that I need. And Father, I pray that we would be used in one another's life to support and carry one another through until that day when you call us home, or that day when you send the Lord Jesus Christ back and you make all things new. Father, that is our hope. And as we look forward to that hope, Father, we thank you for the way that you see us through even the difficulties of this life. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.